following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the latest Green 19 Packers podcast brought to you by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com, and packersnews.com. I am Jim Ozarski, along with co-host Tom Silverstein. It's Thursday. It's Jags week. Tom, you excited?
Yeah, you can hear it in my voice, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, before we get into the 1-7 Jacksonville Jaguars coming into Lambeau Field Sunday afternoon, let's, I guess, really the focus to me, Tom, the most interesting part of this game is the idea that the Green Bay Packers, with the number 3 scoring offense in football, the number 7 overall offense in the league, is actually going to have a full, potentially a full complement of weapons. And for sure, their first two, their top two weapons kind of at full speed for the first time since way back in week one. And what I mean by that is Aaron Jones being back and not on a pitch count or limited or game time as he was against San Francisco. Davante Adams, of course, you know, has been back now for a couple weeks. Tom, this is, I guess Tampa too. So it's what, Minnesota and Tampa Bay? Yeah, that was
for Adams. Are you asking?
Yeah, to have Davante Adams and Aaron Jones at actual full speed.
Yeah. So you know, Minnesota, they were both full speed in Detroit, but Adams didn't play the entire game.
Right.
Well, he went out with the hamstring, and then he missed two games, and then Jones missed two games. So Jones missed Houston and Minnesota, correct?
Right? And that was, you know, obviously a very game time decision heading into San Francisco.
Yeah. And Adams was New Orleans and Atlanta, right? So Tampa and Minnesota were the two games. And Detroit to some degree. But, you know, they also, it's really the first time since the opener that they've had Adams, Jamal Williams, or Adams, Alan Lazard, Jamal Williams, and Aaron Jones together in a full game. And, you know, that, you look at that first game against Minnesota, and they spread the ball around a lot, even though Davante Adams had 14 catches in that game. There were a ton of opportunities for other players, both running it and passing it. So it makes me wonder, once they start getting these guys back, what is their offense going to look like? And I think if it looks like that offense in Minnesota in week one, they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and let's not forget Tyler Irvin had also missed several weeks, overlapping some of these guys as well, and didn't finish a couple games also. And that's kind of interesting, Tom, because, you know, for all of the conjecture, you know, and we talked about it too and written about it, about adding receivers, at the end of the day, they're putting up 32 points a game. You know, and I know there was the one stinker in Tampa, and that's, but 8 games is a pretty good sample size, right? So, I mean, it's, I am curious to see what they can do if all of these guys are actually together for multiple weeks in a row.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's a, probably a good chance they have their offensive line intact for Sunday as well. I think it's going to be a week of adjustments this week to get those guys back and get, you know, some work under their belt. And then I think we'll see where they're really at the following week against Indianapolis, which is a really good defense. It's on the road. I think we'll get a better sense of whether they can, you know, whether the offense can carry them completely through this season.
Yeah, it's it is, you know, Indianapolis, of course, that'll be an interesting, we can actually have a lot to break down there with a good, at this point, the number one defense in football with the Colts. But you mentioned adjustments this week, Tom. Is it, I'm curious what you mean by that to a degree, because these are, they're guys who haven't been together playing, but it's not like it's new pieces. You know what I mean? It's guys played together. So what do you kind of anticipate seeing this week? You know, the Jaguars are terrible. So is it really just mixing and matching again and getting, you know, let's get at it. You know, Aaron Jones needs 20 touches. Devontae should get 7 to 12 targets. So like, what do you kind of anticipate?
Well, first of all, number one, it's a matter of Alan Lazard getting back into football shape, getting his rhythm down, playing at game speed, getting his timing with Rodgers, getting his blocking down. I mean, he's been out since week three. And, you know, even though he's been practicing, it's just not the same. And so I think he'll probably be on a pitch count, and it'll take him a little bit to get back there, to get back. Bakhtiari, you know, he may be able to come back and be the same guy right away. I mean, there may be some slip-ups, but I think the big thing will be, okay, so Rodgers is used to Devontae Adams being there, but, you know, are there going to be better options now? Devontae Adams is a great option almost every down, but there may be better options, like against New Orleans when Lazard was somehow getting wide open all the time. And there may be better options when Aaron Jones against Minnesota was killing him in the passing game. So that's going to be kind of the adjustment. Is Rodgers, is he going to have this, extravagance of targets that he's going to have to pick the best one?
Yeah. And that's, those are all good things if you're Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, for sure. Especially if that means David Bakhtiari's back at left tackle, Billy Turner, who has been playing very well, moves back to his original position, at least for this year, of right tackle. He hasn't been there very much. These last few weeks. That would be when you mentioned the options, Tom, I'm curious, you know, that to go back to the idea of, you know, the Packers didn't make any kind of moves and receiver issues. I know you and I debated whether Will Fuller was worth, you know, the second round pick asking price. I mean, does this sort of potentially prove Brian Gutekunst's point of, you know what, sure, we'd like an upgrade, but it's really not worth the draft capital way back in, you know, April when they didn't draft anybody, or the salary capital. I mean, if guys are quote unquote college wide open, as Aaron Rodgers has said, if Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones are healthy, was there a lot of hand-wringing for nothing?
Well, the key word there is potential. So they have the potential to still be fairly prolific without adding a wide receiver. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into that word, potential. And it means, you know, LaFleur staying a step ahead of defenses. It means making sure that Aaron Jones is the center point of every game plan, because really for the guys that they have, they gotta have a running game. Those guys are just, other than Devontae Adams, they don't have guys who are just going to kill going one-on-one. You know, they got a lot of guys who are good at running certain routes and in certain situations. You know, Adams can run every route in every situation and catch any kind of ball. But, you know, Alan Lazard isn't a deep threat. And Valdez Scantling isn't going to run slants all day across the middle. And Tyler Irvin is, you know, better catching it short and running with it. So you get my point. they have a bunch of guys who do something good or something well, and then now the more of those type of guys they have, the more parts of offense they have covered. And so maybe they, you know, the sum of the parts is greater than adding a Will Fuller.
So what, I guess for sake of argument, Tom, I mean, again, 8 games in, 32 points a game. So what, I mean, what is potential? Like, is potential 35 a game? Or are we speaking more of the postseason and having to play Tampa again, or running into a situation like Minnesota where you have a really good defensive coach? But then again, it was also mitigated by no Aaron Jones. So what, I guess, I'm curious as to what.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think sort of like San Francisco, they're going to win games. You know, I'm not saying the Packers are going to do this, but this is the way it looked for San Francisco. They regularly put up good yardage, good points. They were tough to handle, but then they got to the playoffs and they just kicked it into another gear and ran for 200 and whatever yards against the Packers and rolled up all those points. And, you know, Kansas City's the same way. While they were rolling up points, you know, when they got to the playoffs, they just kicked it into another gear, you know, had that just great comeback and then, you know, got to the Super Bowl and were able to use their offense and win the championship. So I think it's, yes, you want to 30 points a game, but what you want to do is really establish that you can win any way, that you can win running it, you can win passing it, you can win a combination, whatever it takes. And when you get to the playoffs, that's what you'll do.
Interesting. Yeah, it's you're right. I don't think now in terms of this weekend against Jacksonville, you know, I mean, the Jaguars are 1-7.
Yeah.
31st in points and yards. So I don't know how much we're going to actually learn about all of this week.
They got 8 sacks for the entire year.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, that's, what does the Darius Smith have? Pretty close to that.
He does. So I guess in terms of this week, let's rather than worrying about or thinking about Jacksonville's defense to a degree, I think there are some and interesting personnel issues maybe Mike Pettine will have to deal with, namely at corner. Jaire Alexander took himself out of the game on Thursday night after a helmet-to-helmet collision. He has remained in concussion protocol. A reminder for fans, there is a process there. He's going to have to see the field and do some physical activity tomorrow, Tom?
Yeah, he'd have to. I believe he'd have to practice tomorrow. They could conceivably do it Saturday, but I always thought that you had to do, you know, they wanted the last phase was that you were able to practice with no symptoms. So I don't know if they would constitute Saturday a practice. Maybe they would.
Yeah, and part of why that matters is because it's not just be able to get through the whole physical session, but then also, you know, how do you feel after it, right?
Right. So, and an independent neurologist has to clear you. And you know, we've been around, we've seen this before. Typically, if a guy isn't back, at least just watching practice on a Thursday, then he's probably not going to play.
Yeah, so that throws Jaire Alexander's status into serious doubt for Sunday. And then, Tom, what did you notice about Kevin King in terms, yes, he is back to practice after a very clear setback with his quad injury a couple weeks ago. What have you seen from him, and is there a chance he's out there Sunday?
So he practiced in pads, and, you know, we only get to see a fair amount, so he's mostly going just through drills. But the way they've been with him has been pretty, they've dealt with him carefully, and I'm pretty sure they don't want to push him so that he has another setback. He had a setback, what, 2 weeks ago or a week ago?
Yeah, on a Friday.
Yeah, on a Friday, right. I think it was before the Minnesota game. Yeah. And I would, if I was betting, I would say he's not going to play. Or if he does play, it's just in a nickel situation that they don't want to push him too hard. So conceivably, we could be seeing Kadar Holman and Josh Jackson, or you know, Chandon Sullivan would probably be the starter, but in nickel, Kadar Holman would have to play. And, you know, he might have to be on DJ Chark a good portion of the time, because we know Josh Jackson can't really run with Chark.
Yeah, and that sets up, I mean, the Jaguars have a rookie quarterback in, you know, I'm going to have to look up his name again, Tom. Jake Luton. Got his first start last week, threw for 300 yards, you know, put it up 38 times. Touchdown, interception. But yeah, there's Chark, there's Laviska Shenault Jr., who I know in you know, some Packers fans wondered if that was the guy they might take a look at. Keelan Cole, these guys have 30 catches. Again, not a whole lot going on there in terms of a ton of explosiveness, but they are NFL players. And if you are down to your backup corners, you know.
Chark has some explosiveness. That guy can fly. You know, he's not a guy you can fall asleep. He's sort of like Richie James. I mean, he's better than Richie James, but he could put up, like Richie James, he could put up an 180-yard game. You know, I think last week he had like a 73-yard touchdown or something. And so he can fly. And Shenault is a really good after the catch. So, you know, it's not the same as facing Adam Thielen or, you know, someone like that. It's two guys who, you know, given the way the secondary is played at times, could put up some decent numbers.
Yeah, especially, again, you know, when, look, there are depth charts and guys who are starters for a reason. And while, you know, Josh Jackson may have been improving, depending your point of view or whatever metrics people choose to put value in, or Kadar Holman, I mean, there's a reason they're backups, and there's a reason Chark and Shenault Jr., et cetera, are starters. So, yeah, you're right, Tom. It could be a good proving ground and continue to be a proving ground for Josh Jackson for sure.
Yeah, and you know, Jacksonville has a lot invested in their offensive line. You know, they've given up 25 sacks. I don't know how much of that is due to the guys they got at quarterback. I mean, Gardner Minshew was a quarterback, got sacked a fair amount of times. Luton's a big, strong athlete with a really good arm. He's going to face some issues dealing with the elements in Green Bay. A lot of times you come in there and don't really get how strong the winds can be. It's supposed to be kind of a lousy day. But you know, he is strong armed, and they just got to get after him. They got to put a lot of pressure on him, and that'll if they can do that, then I don't think they have to worry that much about the secondary.
And the in terms of the run game, Tom, you mean the last time the Packers were at home, Dalvin Cook, you know, came off a limited practice week and went crazy and essentially won the game for yeah. the Packers in a day when, you know, they only had to throw it 14 times. Now, James Robinson, undrafted free agent rookie out of Illinois State, is not Dalvin Cook. However, the last 2 weeks, Tom, Jay Gruden, you know, they've given it to him. 22 attempts against the Chargers, 119 yards, 5.4 pop. They gave it to him 25 times against Houston last week. Didn't crack 100 yards, had a touchdown these last 2 weeks. So at least these last couple weeks, Tom, the Jaguars have decided, you know what, it's probably better to hand it off. And let's face it, when teams have committed to that and been able to stick with it, that has still remained an issue for Mike Pettine's group, is stopping the run consistently.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think part of the reason they have a decent offensive line, they have a really good center, and they've got, you know, they have a first round pick at right tackle and a second round pick at left tackle. And Andrew Norwell is a kind of grizzled veteran. So they've gotten as much as they can out of that running game with Robinson. And so the Packers have yet to stop anybody, really. So you know that they're going to, that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to run it on them. And no one's Dalvin Cook, and the Packers should be, should feel better that Dalvin Cook is running over everybody now and probably is the best running back in the NFL, although that doesn't necessarily excuse it, what they did.
Yeah, it's as folks could probably tell by our tone here. I mean, I this is one of those, I'm still surprised they lost to Minnesota at home, Tom, but I don't think Jacksonville has enough. So even if the defense comes out flat, like they have in losses, even if the offense takes a little bit of time, as you said, to find its adjustments, if Lazard is activated this weekend and it's at full, I mean, it's still Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, and they generally don't lose these last 2 years when both of those guys are playing.
They shouldn't. There's no way in any world they should lose this game. Now, Jacksonville's played pretty tight with some pretty decent teams. You know, Tennessee, I think it was a 3-point game, and they lost by 2 to Houston, which isn't a good team. But Chargers was fairly close. The Lions knocked them around a little bit. So, you know, Cincinnati beat them. They're 1-7, and that's what they are. So this is not a good football team coming in. You know, it's just that maybe they're going to make it closer. You never know.
Right. And well, as we kind of hit this halfway point of the podcast season, of the NFL season, 6-2, Tom, you know, the NFC is a jumbled mess depending on the week. You know, Tampa can't seem to beat New Orleans. New Orleans could not beat the Packers. Packers got pounded by Tampa. The NFC West is the mystery, Tom. They're playing the NFC East. So there are no crossovers or similar games to see. Just, I mean, the Seahawks, the Rams, the Cardinals are going to kind of have to beat each other up. And we'll find out how that shakes out in the postseason. I mean, where are the Packers at here? In your view, is it really just win as much as you can? And
Yeah. Win the division. Just get to that point in this crazy season. Just win the division and guarantee yourself a good spot, no matter if there's, 12 teams in the playoffs or 16 teams or whatever it's going to be, 14, I mean, or 16. I don't know what it's going to be, but win your division and take care of that, because, you know, you got to keep building up your conference record, which they've done a halfway decent job of doing, because that's going to come into play with tiebreakers. But home field advantage, they just need to make the playoffs. There's no home field advantage anymore, you know, not this year. So get in the playoffs, try to get a bye if there is a bye, so you can rest up, but win the division. And really, I don't think you need to worry. I think this is different than any other year.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Tom. I mean, normally, you know, you'd be wondering about playing at home against Seattle or going on the road. Really, it would just be not wanting to make the 2,000-mile trip if you don't have to. I mean, right. As opposed to the stadium aspect of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the familiarity, you know, knowing how the wind blows, those are advantages for the home team. But going to Seattle is – if you ever want to go to Seattle in a, you know, championship with the championship on the line, this is the year to do it.
Yeah, it is. It is very interesting. You know, the NFL this week, Tom, you know, kind of unveiled a postseason scenario. You know, if the pandemic, which is, you know, raging at even greater speed pace around the country than ever before. You know, if the season can't be finished, more playoff teams will be added, maybe eliminates a bye. So to your point, you know, getting it done early or winning as much as you can early, definitely the emphasis for sure.
Well, yeah, and it really helped them that they won at Minnesota, they won at New Orleans. Those were big wins. The you know, sore spot is that they lost at home to Minnesota. And I don't think we've heard the end of Minnesota. I think as long as Dalvin Cook is healthy, that they're going to start to make a run. The Bears are starting to fall, and I would not be surprised if Minnesota still makes the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I mean, they are getting hot and riding a running back who has been injury prone, and everyone knows how I feel about Kirk Cousins. So but you're right though. I mean, an extra wild card team has been added. You know, in the West, I think, Tom, that's the interesting one because they're playing the NFC East. It feels like you're going to have a 6-win division winner out of the East. And so, yeah, that extra wild card spot is going to be, or extra two, I should say, is up for grabs. And that's a scary team. You know, any team that can run the ball consistently is something that the Packers are going to have to worry about, in my opinion.
Yeah, and their defense is getting better. Their defense played pretty good, pretty well against the Packers. I thought, you know, and what they were down to like their last two cornerbacks, and they still, you know, won the game. So I just wouldn't rule out Minnesota yet.
I do have a Packers specific question at the break here, Tom. You know, we started this podcast talking about the offense coming together as a healthy group. So I want to end with an offensive question, and that is, when they went into Tampa Bay, I thought they were going to have to win because the quarterback was going to have to come out in his Superman cape and play really well because Aaron Jones, I felt, was going to get stopped. And we saw Aaron Jones get stopped, and then we saw the passing offense fall apart. Against Minnesota with no Aaron Jones, we saw Mike Zimmer really game plan Davante Adams, and it just didn't happen. And yeah, there were conditions, but what I'm curious, where I'm going with this, Tom, is this offense set up in a way, or is Aaron Rodgers able to come out of the phone booth? You know, what have you seen through 8 weeks with the quarterback's play, or maybe the system in general, that if Jones is taken away or if Adams is taken away, like, I don't know. I know people want to say it's he's an MVP, and I know what the numbers are, but I guess I'm just curious if there's still something left where the quarterback can carry the team through a stretch if one of those guys is taken away, because I don't know if we've seen it yet.
No, I don't think we have. We've seen him play really good football, and if there's one thing I would rate him highly on is that he has recognized, he has a really good understanding now of the offense and knows where the open guy is going to be. And he's putting the ball where it should. I have not seen him do like he did in 2011 or 10, you know, where he is just the best player on the field, and there's no stopping him. You could put any three wide receivers out there, and as long as they don't drop the ball, you know, he's going to score. I haven't seen that guy, and I don't think you need to. I think these guys are going to be at their best when he doesn't have to do that, when he can use his talents just to keep moving the ball down the field and not having to get out of the pocket and make these miraculous throws down the field. They don't really need that, I think. They haven't so far. And if their offense continues to grow, they won't. And, you know, LaFleur's going to have to help them. He's going to have to come in with some good game plans at times. He blew it in Tampa. You know, New Orleans showed exactly what you need to do to Tampa to beat them, which is get rid of the ball as quickly as possible. And he didn't do that. He didn't come up with that game plan, and the Packers just got crushed. So he's got to continue to stay ahead of the curve. But yeah, I don't know that we'll see that Rodgers, and you know, if you're going to see that Rodgers, you hope it shows up in the playoffs if you're the Packers.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That's and we'll probably dive more into this type of conversation next week when they head to Indianapolis and you have, you know, a couple of really good defenses maybe coming up down the line here with some of these opponents in Chicago. Regardless, whatever's going on offense, you know, the Bears are still going to present some challenges defensively. So we will see. But yeah, we will be back with you late Sunday afternoon after the Packers play the Jaguars in front of no one at a windy, rainy, cold, maybe Lambeau Field. So we will see how that goes.
Noon game, man.
Yeah, noon game. That even when you're the Packers, the Jaguars are going to keep you in the noon.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Yep.
So that is for sure. So we will catch you post game then. Be sure to subscribe, jsonline.com/deals. Head over to packersnews.com. If you only want your Packers information, you can get that over there. So subscribe there, then download the Packers News app, turn on notifications, because, you know, in this COVID year, there are all kinds of roster moves and changes that you want to be on top of. We have that for you. So turn on those notifications. You will read everything from Tom Silverstein, Pete Doherty, Ryan Wood, Olivia Reiner, and myself over there. And again, thank you for listening. We will see you Sunday afternoon.